السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین ایاک نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. گزشتہ دو جمعے تو میں نے
حضور says that the last two Friday sermons I had delivered from India, one from Calicut which is a city of Kerala, and the second one was in Delhi. And as you are aware, Huzur says that because of the circumstances I had to stop and return, and usually when I come back from any tour I relate the incidents and the highlights, and people the world over, the Ahmadis, they desire that when I return I tell them of what had gone on, and also the people whom I had visited also desire that I mention them, that how my sittings were with them. Although during my tour of Kerala, as a matter of fact, in Calicut, in that Friday sermon, I had mentioned the importance of religion in that area, and from historical perspective I had mentioned a few facts, and I had drawn the attention of those people to the important factors, and I had also mentioned their zeal and their sincerity. But with regards to my tour, briefly I will mention a few more points. Before going to Kerala, on the way Chennai, which used to be called Madras, we made a stopover. Although the stopover was only for a few hours, but the Lajnai Maila had also presented a brief, very good program in which I had drawn their attention to the factors important for them, and our new mosque which has been built there in Mount Thomas. I also performed the opening ceremony. That Jamaat of Chennai is comparatively small, not that small either, it's a few hundred people there, but with the grace of Allah the Almighty, their sincerity is of a very high standard. With the grace of Allah, the blessing of MTA which Allah the Almighty has granted us, through that In the Jamaat, there is a unity and a bonding with the Khilafat, which has been instilled in the fullest. Now this area, which from Qadian is at a distance of 2,000 miles, and there are many such Ahmadis up there who probably have never been to Qadian. And in the sight of all of them, the love and they have for the Khilafat and their discipline with the organization of the Jamaat was very marked, very pronounced. One reason for that is the training given to them by their elders, because there have been a lot of very high personalities of very high stature who were there, and then through MTA people recite songs, nazams. So the standards have become the same whether in Asia or Europe or Africa. This bonding with the grace of Allah is continuing to grow every day, alhamdulillah. And here I had mentioned that they had received the training at the hands of their elders. With regards to that, I would like to say that in Chennai city or in that area around, Ahmadiyyat had reached in the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The promised Messiah alayhi salam's 16 companions are mentioned in the local history. Their children then are living there, their generations are there, and then there are new Ahmadis as well. In Mount Thomas, I have mentioned the mosque that has been built. There, that has also a brief history of religion in that area. Here, according to the Christian history, Thomas had come to this area in the 52nd year. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ, peace be on him, and this is a small little hill called Mount Thomas. There is a church there as well. And here, he lived for 15 or 16 years, they say, and he was murdered here by an enemy, and he was then buried here in this church. And later it is said that his body was then taken to the Vatican. In any case, the disciple Thomas who had come here shows that the lost sheep of Israel, the lost tribes of Israel, they were to be reached and the message of Christianity had to be given to them. And Thomas, as they call him, the disciple Thomas, they call him Toma Hawari here, and it is said that he was the only one who had traveled with Jesus Christ, peace be on him, after crucifixion. And in Barahin Ahmadiyya, volume 5, the Prophet Muhammad has mentioned it. The Prophet Muhammad says that the Christians themselves believe that when Jesus Christ, peace be on him's arrival is mentioned of coming into Kashmir, the Prophet Muhammad says that the Christians themselves believe that some disciples had come to India, and for Thomas to have come to Madras, and even up to today, every year for the Christians to celebrate that. This is something which is not unknown to those who are aware. And besides that, in Malfuzat as well, the Prophet Muhammad has mentioned it. At one point he said that like the Holy Prophet at the time of migration had only travelled with Hadrat Abu Bakr Siddiq anhu, the same way Jesus Christ, peace be on him, had travelled with Thomas. And the reason was that he did not want to have a lot of people with him so that other people would come to know of it. And so traveling in this way, in a quiet way, he had arrived in Kashmir. Now about Thomas here, it is also to be mentioned that in this area, Jews had arrived and settled in this area prior to this incident. So it was essential for a disciple to reach there and relate the message to them so that this tribe as well would not be deprived of the message brought by the Messiah, Jesus Christ, peace be on him. In any case, the reason for mentioning this is that this city has a very old historic religious history. And now from the companions of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, when Ahmadiyyat arrived here, this is also flourishing with the grace of Allah. And the generations that are coming now, they are also increasing in their loyalty and sincerity. And Allah the Almighty gave the Jamaat the ability to build a mosque exactly in the area, around in that area where the disciples of Jesus Christ, peace be on him, had built a church. There is a very big church present up there. So now Allah the Almighty is granting Ahmadis the ability that they are now relaying the message of the Messiah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the area. May Allah give them greater ability to relay the message around, because now this is essential for them that they have to take the one God as their Lord and not to take any human being as their God. So this is the brief history. And then Hazur says there was the next journey of Calicut. This was the first city where Thomas had arrived, because there was a large settlement of the Jews, and these people were called the Malabari Jews. Their history also shows that at the time of Hadrat Sulaiman, Prophet Solomon, there were trade caravans that used to pass this area, and with them probably the Jewish religion arrived here. And when Thomas arrived here, he spent the rest of his days here, and he was relaying the message of Christianity, and majority of the people there, they accepted his message. And those people who became Christians, they are either called Thomai Christians or they are called Nasranis, and they are called Nazarites, and there are many amongst them who are still monotheists. They believe in one God. So this is the history of Judaism and Christianity in that area. The Hindus here are in a vast majority. There are a large number of Muslims as well. But this is a grace of Allah the Almighty on this area, that they all live with cooperation with each other. Even if there are some troubles around, the people of Kerala, they keep themselves away from it, distinct from it. I remember that in Ghana there was a friend from Kerala, and one day I was in the office, he was there as well, and a Ghanaian arrived. And the Ghanaian gentleman asked him, that are you Indian? He asked me that, are you Indian? And I said, I'm Pakistani. He asked me, what is the difference? Even before I could speak, this engineer from Kerala, he said, we do not have any difference. It's only the geographical differences, or otherwise our leaders have created some differences. Otherwise we are one and the same. So they are very positive in their approach. They do not want to create any differences. And they have a lot of self-control as well that you see in them. And Islam in that area had arrived through the trade caravans who used to go to those areas for trade in India. And when those caravans came, the history says that with them Hazrat Malik bin Dinar, in the time of the Khilafat-e-Rashida, he came and there were 12 Arab traders with him. And in that time, the Raja Parumal, he had accepted Islam. First, he took information and then, understanding Islam to be true, he accepted it. And with that trade caravan, he also went to visit Makkah. This Raja, who, because of the beautiful teachings of Islam and the miracles he saw, he became a Muslim. In that area, for a Raja to have become a Muslim, the Promised Messiah has mentioned that in his writings. There is some difference in names. Maybe in those names there was a difference in name and later the name was changed. In any case, the Promised Messiah has mentioned that the Raja of that area became a Muslim and then Islam spread. As a matter of fact, an Ahmadi family who lives there, they told me that we as well are a progeny of that Raja. So that Raja had some piety and righteousness in him. And of course, he must have prayed for his future progeny. And Allah the Almighty then gave a part of that progeny the ability to become Ahmadis, to accept the Messiah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazur says, I'd like to mention, as I've mentioned before in a sermon, that in this area the literacy rate is nearly 100%, while in the whole of the country the literacy rate is very low, and amongst the Muslims it is non-existent almost. But in this area, in the Muslims as well, the literacy rate is about 90%. And this area, as I have said before, it has all the main religions of the world who are living there with cooperation. They are living there. They have a lot of self-control. They are also in a position that if they follow Ahmadiyyat well, I can see that it would be a beautiful land of growth for Ahmadiyyat. And like in other countries, some Muslim organizations have taken on the attitudes of being harsh, and they are extremists, and they are holding all these grudges. But here in this area, generally you will see that people are clean of these kind of attitudes, and they want to also cleanse themselves of these kind of attitudes, because there were some groups here which we met, and it was quite possible that when I had arrived, then those people would have shown a negative reaction. But I was told that Allah the Almighty had His grace and mercy, and just a couple of months ago such a group was brought to surface who were then declared as terrorists, and the government had arrested them. In any case, it was a blessing of Allah the Almighty that during our tour there wasn't even a single call against us. And as a matter of fact, a local journalist who is an Ahmadi, he wrote to me and he said that the organizations of Muslims who are opposed to us, the other sects, of course they are opposed to us, but they had mentioned my arrival in a positive way in their press, and our programs were held with the grace of Allah very properly. And where I was staying at an Ahmadi friend's house, there was about 20 minutes distance to the mosque, and the mosque is right in the center, in the heart of the city. As a matter of fact, when we had the reception, when there were a lot of guests, from outside the Jamaat, there was one political leader who said to me that your mosque is right in the heart of the city. This is a very central spot. And inshallah, in this way, this mosque, Huzur says, which is our mosque, which is in the heart of the city, will win the hearts of the city and the area, inshallah. And the government of the province was also very helpful. They gave us a police officer to be with us throughout this, and the general public was also very cooperative. Twice we went into the mosque and they gathered there. The traffic had not to be stopped. Sometimes even the traffic would stop themselves. People would stop and give way of their own free will. So Huzur says, this land, this soil is such that Ahmadis should draw the best benefit from it. In Calicut, and the Ahmadis of the area I was able to meet, and all the Ahmadis who had come, which numbered in their thousands, with the grace of Allah, was able to meet them all individually. And during those meetings as well, the bonding, the relationship they expressed, all men, women and children, was most amazing. In their zeal and in their sincerity and love, they hold a very high standing. Some are such who had only entered the Jamaat a few years ago, but in their love and loyalty they are so high, and they have been absorbed in the system of the Jamaat in such a way that you cannot tell whether they are new Ahmadis or old Ahmadis. They are in the forefront of providing service to the Jamaat. There are many who are in very important offices of the Jamaat, and they are serving the Jamaat very well. To understand the organization of the Jamaat and to improve their standards, they kept on asking me questions. They tried to increase their knowledge and their information so that they can perform the services in the best way possible. So these kind of Ahmadis, the new Ahmadis, they should be in every place. It is not enough just to get enlisted and enrolled in the Jamaat. The Prophet ﷺ said, I have nothing to do with numbers. It should be people who are high in their taqwa, in their love and fear of Allah. So I say to the rest of the Jamaats, and I say to the Jamaats in India as well, that when you have a bayat, when you have a new convert, it should be a fruit which is ripe for the Jamaat, which is full of health, and from the seed of which then there would be other sprouts that will come out and will be very healthy and strong. So when I say look for those lost bayats, those lost people who had come into the Jamaat and are lost, I also say to them, do not bring such people that who, because of their low standards of tarbiyat and training, they would be lost later, that they have just their own benefits that they are looking for. If you give the example of birds, it should be the example like presented in the Holy Quran. Fasurhunna ilaik, the Holy Quran says, train them and سُمَّدُغْهُنَّ يَعْتِينَكَ سَعَيَا. Allah the Almighty says that train them in a way that when you will call them, they will fly to you. So those kind of Ahmadis are needed, who will put themselves forward without any excuse. As soon as they come into the Jamaat, they are absorbed into the Jamaat, and that cannot happen until those who invite them, those who preach to them, they are themselves free of any ulterior motives, and they only call people to Allah for the sake of that. When they themselves are not, like the example mentioned in the Holy Quran, Asluha Sabitun, that they are rooted firmly and their branches reach out into the heavens. They are not afraid of the world. What they are doing is not as a show for the world. They are doing everything for the sake of Allah. If these are the callers to Allah, if these are the efforts, these are their attitudes, then the newcomers are also bonded into the Jamaat, and the newcomers as well are then taken care of, and the system can then absorb them and put them to work as they should be. And if not, then their example is like the way I've mentioned before, that some people you never know that they had entered and then they disappear. In any case, Huzoor says, I will mention that later with some more depth, but right now I had only mentioned it in passing. This example I saw in southern India, that the newcomers can, when they join the Jamaat, they can become exemplary in their attitude of sacrifice, in their sacrifices. The financial sacrifices are included in this mosque, which I have mentioned, that this is in the heart of the city and this is a very pricey place, and there is quite a large plot of millions next to it was being sold. First the local Jamaat requested the center, and I said, no, you use your own resources, and they were thinking about it. But when I arrived there with the grace of Allah, the zeal in them and the boldness surfaced, and they have now made the resolve, and they have also collected enough funds, and they have decided. First they were saying it will be very difficult for us to buy that, but now they are saying we will use buy it, and we will buy it with our own resources. And one Ahmadi who has a large part in that plot, he said, I will not take my share. And there are others who have made offers of sacrifice. So within a few minutes, while I was standing there and talking to them, the price of that plot, the people up there who could afford it, they decided that they will buy it. They made the offer and made the promise. So they have a very high zeal for sacrifice. May Allah give the ability to the old Ahmadis and the new Ahmadis that they become the carriers of true teachings of Islam. They can apply that in their own lives, and also they can understand the spirit of sacrifice. In Calicut, Lajna also had a small ijtima. There were about 4,000 ladies and Nasrat present. It was a much larger ijtima than that of the UK Jamaat Lajna, and it had a very good effect on the face of every lady and every girl. There was such a strong resolve that you could see that they will work and service for the Jamaat and Islam, and I trust that they will inshallah continue to come forth in the Indian Jamaat, in Indian Lajna. This is quite a large branch of Lajna, but now I can see that they will come forth with leaps and bounds. And the other branches of Lajna in India, they must be listening too. And may Allah make it so that they will also have that zeal in them and that spirit of competing with others. They had heard my Friday sermon. It was broadcast live through MTA. And the thousands of Ahmadis had come for the Jummah that day. Up there in a hotel, the Jamaat had arranged a reception, and a large number of officials and important personalities and the mayor had all come. And when they heard of the beautiful teachings of Islam, they also gave expression in very positive way about the teachings of Islam. Some of course do that as a formal expression, but I could see that on the faces, and some of them, when I met them in private, they expressed their joy that they liked it very much, and the press also published it in a marked and prominent way, and in the educated circles, the true teachings of Islam, when it is relayed, the benefit is that the newspapers give it good coverage, and then the beauties of Islam are relayed with reference to Jamaat-e-Ahmadiyya and the coming of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and his advent is then known to the world. In Calicut, the newspaper Matribhuni, it is called, Gopal Krishnan is its editor. He's Hindu. He interviewed me and he published it. These people, they speak Malayalam, and the people who read that, it is about 15 million people who read that newspaper. And of course these people claim to be liberal in their views, but they try that every good thing should be just restricted to themselves. They think that it's only them who hold goodness. Sometimes they are speaking well of other religions, and some of their personalities, they had even read the translation of the Holy Quran, and about the character and life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a ongoing column in their paper, and they read that. But after all the discussions, when they spoke to me at the end, in very light words, he said to me that it seems, the way you talk, that you are most impressed with Gandhiji. And I immediately said that I am not impressed by Gandhiji. I am impressed by the teaching of the Holy Quran. That teaching that was given to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I have spoken to you in the light of that teaching. So some people have that habit that they try to take the credit of every good thing. Well, in any case, it was in good cheer that we spoke, and this was their right-mindedness that they then published it as well. And then from Calicut we went to Cochin. Here as well there is a good Jamaat. There are small Jamaats in around the area. They have also built a new mosque, so it was the opening ceremony for that as well, and there were three or four mosques around. Couldn't visit the rest of them, but we gathered in this main Jamaat, and the formal opening was done of the other small mosques of the area as well in this way. So in this mosque in the city, this is also in a right in the middle of the city where there are Hindu population around, they also showed a lot of magnanimity, and when they knew that I am coming, they themselves around on their houses, they put new paints, they painted the whole area nicely and brightly, so that the whole area looks nice and bright that I am visiting. So the cooperation of the people was excellent, and there was no problem in moving around the city at all. So the mosques, Zursaz, that I have mentioned, that four other mosques had been built around in the area, but I could not visit. When we explained to the people that in spite of my desire to visit, they were very understanding, and with open hearts and minds, they immediately accepted that, although for a time it seemed that as if the faces had wilted somewhat, but then they said that whatever you have decided is blessed. So the people here as well, they hold a lot of zeal and piety. In Cochin as well, there is a newspaper that they publish. Cochin is quite a large city. The national paper is called The Hindu. The chief reporter, he interviewed me, and this newspaper as well is published from all the large cities of India, and that also has millions of people who read it. And then there is the Indian Express, that is also published all over India, and it's also read by millions. And there all senior correspondent interviewed me as well. I spoke to him about the claim of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the differences of Ahmadis and other Muslims, and on other teachings of Islam, especially with focus on peace. They had come just for a few minutes, but then for an hour and a half, these correspondents continued to ask me questions. And with the grace of Allah, the Almighty, through this channel as well, the introduction of Ahmadiyyat was publicized in a lovely manner. There were very educated, highly educated people. There were professors as well. There were MPs as well in the reception that was held. The MP was the chief guest. And most of these personalities, they mentioned to me that, like you, express the teachings of Islam, we can only put our hopes in you that you can establish peace on earth. As a matter of fact, there is a research scholar. He has given me some of his suggestions as well. Well, they have their own style, but the gist of that was that to establish righteousness in the world, you are the only ones who can do something. So alhamdulillah, generally it was a fruitful visit. Ahmadis through tarbiyah derived a lot of benefit. The bonding of the members of the Jamaat was strengthened, and now the letters that are arriving are demonstrating that there is a new spirit that has been breathed into the area. I have spoken about Ahmadiyyat and Islam, that how the message was relayed to millions, which could not have been done in other ways. So through the tours, new doors of preaching are open. Hazrat Muslim who had once said that the Khalifa of the times tour is not to preach, and nobody should think that he's going out for that, but in that area to find out what the situation is, what would be the right way to expand preaching and to figure out new ways. That is the reason for the tour of a Khalifa. And in any case, there are some occasions that one gets of the tabligh. Of course, the tabligh is a thing which has to be done at a regular basis, and only the locals who are living there can do it at a regular basis, which is a fact. In any case, with all the facts that were obtained and the study of the area, I have seen, Hazur says, that the preachers and the Jamaat, then they can be shown what are the new ways and what should be the best manner possible in which to relay the message to other people. And then also the progress quickens, the pace is increased of the work of the Jamaat, and at least for some time there is that great speed in the work that can be seen. But if one does not know of the area, then whatever reports you are getting, you have to just rely on those reports. So in any case, like Hazrat Muslim Maud Razila Dala Anho had said, is the fact. But there is another benefit that nowadays, through the media, there is so much coverage of the tour that the people's attention is turned towards it, whether in opposition or whether in agreement. So through that as well, the Jamaat and the organization in the area, they have to also quicken their pace. That, as if to say that because of these outsiders, the Ahmadis who are sleeping or who have become very lax, they have to spring to life. So, like I have said, that such introductions have been given in newspapers, the publications of which is in millions. So now Jamaat should reap the benefits of that. They must not sit and wait that whether the tour will have a positive reaction or a negative reaction, and then we will show a reaction ourselves, or just to sit back and say that, okay, let's sit tight and see. if there is any reaction, if there is any negative reaction, it will calm down. Take the most advantage, the best advantage of this occasion. And through relaying the message, through your tabligh, whatever the reaction is, or whatever zeal that has come about in yourselves, this new awakening, do not let it die down. If there is opposition, then there are those as well who are in agreement, who want to hear it. So the world at the moment is thirsting for it. They are looking for it, that some people come forward who can instill peace. So Ahmadis should understand their responsibilities and should quicken their pace and increase their efforts in the southern Indian areas. Their history is linked with religion. So if good planning is done, then inshallah Allah will grant fruits of labor. This is the aim of the slaves of the Messiah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Continue to work like the promised Messiah salam did, through love, through gentle expression. Take the message to the people like the promised Messiah salam wanted to do. The promised Messiah salam wanted to relay his message, mentioning that he said that to take to the public the message of Allah the Almighty, once if it is relayed, then amongst the public there is a vast majority of people who are free of prejudice or arrogance. They are only deprived because they are mullahs. Tell them things. And then he says, in the world there are three kinds of people: general public, middle classes, and then the higher rich classes. The general public usually do not have such a keen understanding, so it is very difficult to make things understood to them. And then the rich people are also so sensitive, they give up very quickly. They do not have the patience, and then they are proud and arrogant, and that stands in their way and becomes a stumbling block because they think they are so big. So it stands in the way of them trying to listen to the attitude, to the viewpoint of others. So a person talking to these people, he should speak to them in accordance to the recipient and speak maybe in brief words but with clear proofs. But for general public you need to make longer speeches. But the middle classes are those who have the ability to understand, and they do not have that kind of arrogance. So it is not very hard to explain to them. These middle classes are in vast numbers in the area that we are talking about. And this area is also quite clear because people do not have such a fear of the mullahs. And the Christians as well, they also listen quite intently. And if there are any rigid Hindus, you can even stay clear of them if they don't want to listen. In Pakistan, the middle classes, they either do not want to listen or they are afraid that the Maulvi might pronounce a fatwa against us. But here in India, there isn't that kind of situation. So where the soil is right, you must then continue to work. We must go out there and work on that soil, because now this is the work of those who are the followers of the Messiah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even the path has to be shown to the followers of the Messiah of Moses, peace be on him. You have to call all people to the path of Allah. May Allah give everyone to work with zeal, sincerity. May Allah bless their works and give them wisdom. so that everyone is focused on relaying the message of the Prophet of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in this way we can take the world to salvation, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah Alhamdulillah Na'madu wa nasta'inu wa nasta'firu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر